Let's begin with a word of prayer, and we'll get into our message here today. Father, I do thank you for this time to share your word. And I just pray for the Holy Spirit to, you know, envelop us and just surround us with what it is that you need to share with each individual. So take the words that are spoken, Lord, and just kind of like allow them to be moved into the individual's heart the way you want it to be, and make that part of their foundation that they have in which to stand on that solid rock of Christ. We pray all of this through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, we've been in Proverbs, and we're going to be there for another probably a couple weeks and stuff. And we're looking at this word, and that word that keeps popping up is called wisdom. Yeah. And boy, don't we need wisdom. You know, and so I think it's important. We're beginning a new year, and it's always those times where we should be doing it. So really, wisdom is something that we should be seeking, and wisdom is something that we really should be holding on to. And I want you to know that wisdom calls out to you. Wisdom isn't something that's, you know, gets tucked up in a little bookshelf. And then you get other books up in front of that, and it gets behind, you know, other books, and all of a sudden, like, there's absolutely no wisdom out there, and wisdom never speaks or anything like that. That's not really true. I want you to know that wisdom is always, always out there. And the problem is that I have found isn't with wisdom, it's with us. We are the problem. And, you know, it's sometimes tough to accept that, because when we say that, then it's like we have to get things fixed and we have to do stuff. And, you know, how old am I now and I still haven't got things fixed? Well, wisdom is there, and I want you to know that. So I'm going to look at some scripture verses here, and we're going to look at, you know, why we have problems with, you know, hearing the word of God, and why sometimes are there so many complicated problems out in life, but also inside the church there's problems too. And when I talked about the church, the body of believers, that there seems to be division between that, right? And so here we are. We're going to go to some Old Testament and New Testament scriptures, kind of mixing them up. And then we're going to be in the middle of my message will be the Proverbs section I want to read. So we're going to start right off here in Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 21. And Jeremiah was a great prophet before the fall of Jerusalem, where the Babylonians came in. And he made this particular statement, which was, you know, the voice of God speaking through Jeremiah. Hear this, you foolish and senseless people. This is God's people, right? And this is how God speaks to his people sometimes. You know, I'm going to say it again. Hear this, you foolish and senseless people. You have eyes, but do not see, and you have ears, but do not hear. Ever notice that? Maybe about a child that you've had, or you know of a child. How many times have I told you, you know, you can write it out and whatever, and they still don't hear, and they still don't listen to what it is or see the things that you put out there in front of them. And, you know, one thing I always thought, that when you got older, you got smarter, more mature and wise and stuff. And I'm kind of finding that that's not really true, you know. We all kind of go through these little hips and valleys and stuff like that. But I always thought that all older people were wiser and stuff. And, you know, it's a choice to be wise or not. And it looks like in this situation here, God's own people were considered foolish because they kept their ears closed and they kept their eyes closed to wisdom, and God is there. And so where does that all come from? Well, I can go all the way back in the beginning of Genesis, and let's look at this, and look at this in terms of how man, right, man pulls away from God. In Genesis 3, 8 through 10, it says, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Now wait, I'm going to stop right there. This is right after they ate the forbidden fruit. All right. So before then, they walked in among God, and they were talking and conversing with God and everything. But after they ate the fruit, right, the thing that they were commanded not to eat, now all of a sudden, you know, they're hiding. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" Right? Think about this. God's looking for the people. God's reaching out to the people. God's calling to the people. And the people are hiding. He answered, this is Adam, "I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." Keeping his eyes closed, keeping his ears closed because of the sin that's in him. Right? And it's like, I'm wondering if this is just the beginning, well, it is the beginning of our broken relationship with God. And God wants to restore that, and as he has, really, through Christ. But let's look at this one here, in terms of wisdom speaking out. John 18, 20 through 21. This is Christ speaking. "I have spoken openly to the world," Jesus replied. "I always taught in synagogues or at the temple, where all the Jews come together. I said nothing in secret. Why question me? Ask those who heard me. Surely they know what I said." And I love this verse about God and about the way that He ministers to people. He is not telling one person a secret and another person a secret and causing division within His body of believers. He's speaking the truth and proclaiming that truth out in the open where people will hear Him. He's calling out to them. And even when He is doing that, people question what He's saying and who He is. We go to John 1:5. It says, "The light shines in darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." And we can reference this. We can look at the light of Christ and the light of the Word that is given to us. And there's so many people that are in the world that living in darkness, referencing the fact that they're not living for Christ. Right? That's what the darkness is. And that they don't even want to recognize it. And you see, and you think about this, you know, and it's really different in a way, because us at night isn't like what it used to be at night back in old biblical times, or even, you know, back maybe 100 years or 200 years ago. Right? They had candles. And when you were out walking along the path, out in the woods, your only sense of light was a candle. That was it. So literally, it was dark. And you could see that candle, you know, from a distance and everything, you could see that candle coming towards you. But even where you're standing there and you've got the lantern with the candle that's in it, you know, it doesn't give off the light that we have. I mean, like right now, when I'm snow blowing, right, I have a big LED light that's on the snow blower throwing light off. I've got a light on my forehead that's throwing off even more light. I've got the light from my garage, the outdoor light that's out there. And it's like, it's almost like day at night. And when I drive, you know, I've got this big flood of lights in front of me. And when those side-by-sides or the four-wheelers are going through and they've got more lights than I've got and I'm blinded by them going down the road, right? They've got lots of light. Nightness, darkness seems like nothing to us. So in reference to what he's talking about here, when there's a light in the darkness, you know, when the power goes off and you have one little candle, all of a sudden that candle really lights up the room, doesn't it? Whereas before, we think nothing of that candle until then. So I want you to think about that in terms of that when there is a light in the darkness, people see it, but they won't recognize it for what it is. They choose not to. And we look at that light in reference to what it is. So we go to John 12:46, and it says, "I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." So there's a purpose to the light, is to remove us from the darkness, from the wandering, and that there's nothing there. The light is the light of God. giving us the direction, giving us the wisdom, giving us all the things that we have. And there's a complete contrast between God and non-God. Light and darkness. You don't have to raise your hand. But once you've seen the light, who would want to live in darkness? And it's, you know, and why is it that the people living in darkness don't want the light? Other than they don't want their sins exposed or the things that they're doing to be exposed. Right? So when Paul was preaching and stuff, he spoke an awful lot about this light and referenced the light. Because we can see light and darkness. We can see the difference and the contrast that's between that. So he says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. He says, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let the light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of God." So that light that we talk about isn't so much a physical lightness, but it's a spiritual light, right? That resides inside of us. And like, who resides in us? But God. And where is He? In our heart, right? And so we have this little idea of this pumping blood and everything like that. But when we talk about the heart, He's in the essence of who we are. Without our heart, we would die. You know, without our arm, we can live with that. We can live without our eyes. We can live without our mouth. We can live with many things. We can't live without our heart. And the heart pumps the blood all the way through your entire system. And that's why they reference that, because what God is inside of you, He's inside every part of you. From fingertip to fingertip to toe tip to the ends of your hair, all of that. And when He is there, right, He's talking to you. Because there's scripture in Isaiah, which is kind of cool, that says in chapter 30, verse 21, it says, "Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" Now, who do you think is saying, "This is the way"? But God Himself. And God's there speaking to you, and it's like, you know, we talk about maybe wanting to have that, "Hey, Mike, you know, well, you got to turn a little more to the left. You got to start doing this sort of thing." But you know what God says? He says, "Mike, I really want you to do this. I want you to go this way." And when you can start to hear God's voice, even when there's large crowds, the noisy subway, the noisy bus or the snowplows going through, or Fort Drum doing all their stuff, you can still hear God's voice because you've learned to listen to His voice. Many people learn to put His voice away. They become desensitized to it. Because they're into the world, and that's what they want to do, is focus in on the world, and they don't want to focus in on God. Which means they rather focus on darkness than on light. So, I want you to know that wisdom calls. And wisdom is always calling. And we just need to listen. And to hear that call that's there. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to get into Proverbs 8. It's not too long, but I'm not going to put it up on the screen. But what I would like you to do is to open your Bibles to Proverbs 8. And I'm going to read it. I'm reading from the NIV. And I'm just going to go from verse 1 down to 20-21. And I want you to think about that light and the darkness. I want you to think about Christ calling Himself, preaching in the temples and in the open and not having secrets. I want you to think about the words that Paul was saying, is that, you know, that we preach Christ, Jesus, and we ourselves are just servants of Him. But we want you to know who He is. We want you to experience Him. And so, And starting in Proverbs chapter 8, is everybody there? I see Lori and Frank still looking. Are you there, Lori? She's getting there.
455, I'm sorry.
No, I just don't. She's trying to find her little flashlight, your little reading light, so she gets to read the scripture verses there. All right, I'm going to begin chapter 8 in Proverbs. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? At the highest point along the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gate leading to the city at the entrance, she cries aloud. To you, O people, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, set your hearts on it. Listen, for I have trustworthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true, for my lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them are crooked or perverse. To the discerning, all of them are right. They are upright to those who have found knowledge. Choose my instruction instead of silver. Knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have insight. I have power. By the king's reign and rulers issue decrees that are just. By me, princes govern and nobles, all who rule the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. With me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. My fruit is better than fine gold. What I yield surpasses choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness along the paths of justice, bestowing a rich inheritance on those who love me and making their treasuries full. You know, when you read scripture like this, it's like, why wouldn't you choose wisdom? Is there anything in there that would steer you the wrong way according to that scripture? Not one thing. What they'll do is they'll steer you towards what is important, just like David was saying when in his last words. His thing that was important was having a relationship with God. And that relationship then dictated how he ruled the nation, how he lived his life. Now, he wasn't perfect, just like we're not perfect, but he did have a heart for the Lord. And that's really what came out with David and his relationship there. Wisdom that God has is for everyone. It doesn't matter on your standing, it doesn't matter on your age, it doesn't matter on your job. What matters is that you listen to that wisdom. Because there you will find those treasures. The things in life that make life important. That can give you hope and energy in order to put that foot forward for the next day when you know you're going to be going into a place of work, or you know you're going to be going into that hospital and you'll be dealing with some stuff, whether you're taking cancer treatments or giving cancer treatments. You know, you're going to be able to deal with that unruly person in a loving way. Why? Because you have the wisdom of God that's there talking over your shoulder and saying, this is the way, this is what you need to do. Wisdom calls out constantly. Are you there to be able to hear what's there, for you know what God has to say? Because, you know, in a time where before we accepted Christ, you know, we thought we were pretty smart. We thought we were pretty wise. And then all of a sudden we start comparing ourselves to God, and it's like, ooh, that's not even close there. Right? But there's areas that God has filled us and changed us. And I want you to look at this scripture verse here where Paul's speaking to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 through 31. He says, "Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things, the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him. It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord." I can't think of the author that... I can't even think of the book now. We did it over in Fowler. What was the one program that was... Rick Warren? Yeah, The Purpose-Driven Life. If you ever read the book, the very first words in it is, "It's not about you." And I really like that, because, again, remember the first 5 minutes and the last 5 minutes? I always make the point and sound like that. Well, this is the first 5 minutes of reading that book. It's not about you. It's about God in you that makes a difference. We are those weak and ignoble vessels, those vessels made of clay that are fragile. But inside of us, because we have God, we have treasures unbeknownst to us. And we become a very noble individual, become the priests. It's what God wants us to do, you know, to spread His word about who He is. And to be His witnesses wherever we go. That we aren't boasting about ourselves, but what we're doing is we're boasting about the Lord. And we can talk about what the Lord has done for us. We can talk about those great things that are there. And we can really share an awful lot about that sort of thing, so that those other people can see the light in us when all they see is darkness. Where they have no hope, we have the hope that God has given us. Not just for eternal life, but that God is with us right now as we go through these trials and struggles and persecution sometimes. And I want you to think about this in terms of wisdom calling out. Because we're going to go to Matthew chapter 5, and this is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, and there's like three chapters, 5, 6, and 7, where Jesus really speaks about the heart. And if you want to know what God wants from us in terms of how we should be behaving and acting and thinking internally, read these three chapters. But I'm going to give you some of the very beginning and some of the very end of this Sermon of the Mount. But I want you to know, and look, read this as, with me as you would. Matthew 5, 1 through 10 says, "Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying..." And he started talking, right? So we think about the disciples, but Jesus had 12 disciples, but he also had many disciples that were following him. So this is really, because we're going to see this at the end, it basically is that the large crowds were with him, right? So he's speaking this, and where is he speaking this? In the shallows, in the dark, in the closed rooms? No. He's up on a mountain speaking, right? His voice is descending upon all of the people that are there. And I would just love to be back in there and to hear an audience of people basically saying nothing, and because they're so intent on what Christ is saying. I was talking to my principal this week, and I said, you know, maybe I'm just getting too old for teaching anymore. And she said, "Oh, you're not that old, Mike. It's just..." And I'm like, well, I don't mean old in the sense of, you know, my age in terms of my physical body, but old in my the values that I think that students should be having while they're in school. And so I told her, and I told my one class, I said, I think I'm just getting too old to teach, because, you know, back when, you know, what I really believe now is like when we went on a field trip just to go down to the local farm and the farmer's telling us about their beef operation and stuff like that for the animal care class, you know, twice while this person is speaking or I'm asking him questions, he's not a real good speaker or whatever, so I ask questions to get him to get information out of him, you know, right? So that people can understand his beef operation. Twice I had to tell my students, we are here for a purpose, stop talking. Hey, it's a special thing. You would think, you know, for the 30 minutes that we're there, that they should be able to pay attention for that amount of time, right? And I would think, too, like I told them, I said, I know that my class is an elective class, and I don't expect 110% from you, but I'm getting less than 50% from you, right? You sit here, and you'd rather chat than actually getting your work done. And even when I'm talking and trying to teach something, you're having a conversation with the person next to you. Maybe I'm just getting too old for this because I don't understand that type of stuff. You know, and so I would love to be in the crowd of the disciples. And my guess, it would be silent. That's how I have it in my mind, because how else is it that God could stand, you know, on this mountain and for everybody to hear him, or for him to be on the boat and for this voice to be able to travel over all the people and the murmuring and the discussions that they have. And there's certain people that when we have faculty meetings, I don't sit next to because they like to have conversations and they're like, I really want to listen to what's going on, and I can't hear the conversation when someone else is talking to me right next to me, trying to be quiet, but they're not. And so it's not that I'm like, you know, a stickler for all this sort of thing. But maybe I am getting too old for this, you know, and because my idea of what someone should be doing is different than what they think it should be. And I think maybe it's the same way with Christ too, right? He expects light to be in us, and we still shine, or that we harbor darkness sometimes. But this is what he says, right, in terms of his teaching to these people. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is what he begins with, speaking. And can you imagine, you know, the individuals that are hearing these sort of words? Well, you know, I'm persecuted for believing in you. I'm, you know, if I want mercy, maybe I need to show mercy. You know, I am pretty low in spirit, but yet I have your spirit, God, to uphold me. And it's we start looking at the hearts of the people. It's not just a surface thing. It's really getting deep down into the heart, the soul of that individual. That's what God does. His light penetrates all the way through you. If you have your eyes open and your ears there to hear. If you allow him to do that sort of thing. And so he goes through the chapters and stuff, speaking about, you know, you have heard it said, but I tell you. All right, you can go back through and read all of that. And it's good information. And so we get to the end in chapter 7, and this is the very last part of it. Again, remember the first 5 minutes at the end, it says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice as like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down and the streams rose. The winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall. Because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and the beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. Now, you've heard that before. But Jesus has just said all of these three chapters put together, and no doubt that's not all of what he said. I'm sure he said multiple things to reinforce what was there. But if you just walk away and say, oh, that was nice, and are exactly the same person you was before then your house is built on the sand. Because you haven't allowed God to come into your life. You haven't allowed Him to reside there. You haven't even listened to that voice that's speaking, turn to the right or turn to the left. Go this way. And Jesus knows that. But you know, at the end, people stood there and they were just amazed at this man. And that he even spoke with authority. Think about that. Other leaders never spoke with authority. They just spoke. So what happens right afterwards? Right? So look at this here. This is pretty amazing, I think. In Matthew 8, 1 through 3, this is like the next chapter, the beginning of it. He says, when he came down from the mountainside, after all the Sermon on the Mount, the last three chapters, large crowds followed him, right? They still couldn't get enough of him. He said, a man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, can you make me clean? This is a result of God speaking and someone listening. He calls him Lord, doesn't just call him rabbi, teacher. He calls him Lord. He has a disease that isolates him from every aspect of life. He has leprosy, and he's to call out, unclean, unclean, wherever he walks. And yet he was there on that mount, and he heard the words of God, and he's taken them in, and he's going to Jesus and say, heal me, if you can. And Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. And immediately, he was cured of leprosy. That is having your eyes open. That is listening to the call of wisdom and approaching the one that you need to approach. How long did this man wait? Not long. He probably waited until Christ came near him so that he could ask him to heal him. That's putting your faith in God. That is looking to the light, reaching out, and grabbing on to the light as we are supposed to do. So we look at that one little miracle that we've got. And it's amazing. That individual's life has been changed from a place of darkness and isolation to now a place where he can live in the light and share the good news. Like he was never able to do that maybe before. Last verse I've got is John 14, 11 through 14. It says, believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. These are the words of Christ. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. And we can talk about this miracle that we just talked about, you know, after all of the things that Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, this individual gets healed of leprosy, right? And he says, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Think about that. Anything that we ask for, you know, I think it's James talks about it. And there's times where we pray, or 1 Peter, I can't remember which now. But sometimes we pray, but we pray for the wrong thing. We don't pray in God's will. And when we pray, we need to have that relationship with God. It's not about, God, let me, you know, win the lottery so that I can, you know, get over paying my debts. You know, that's not about what prayer is. I can't even say that. What prayer is. You need to know the Father. Right? You need to be in the light to be able to do that. And when that happens, you're just reciprocating what God the Father wants for you in your prayer. And it happens. Because that is the God's will. When God calls, when wisdom calls, God wants you to have your eyes open and your ears open. He wants you to be able to hear what's out there because He has treasures for you that are untold. He wants you to have a full life, a life that's full of the blessings that David was talking about. Life of God with us, and that reflects all the things that we do with our family members and the place of work because we have that light and we're holding on to it. And no one can take that away from you. No one. Wisdom calls. What's your response? Father, I thank you for your word here today. I thank you for your just allowing us to be able to share your words. Help us become the people that you want us to be. Individually and as a church. Guide us in all the things that we do that we may please you, bless you, and glorify you in all that we do. We pray all of this through your Son, Jesus. Amen.